Final hour for us as we sit down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with the new head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Kevin Stefanski, who was offered the opportunity to do the 1 o'clock woo and politely declined.
I respect the woo. That's all that matters.
I just want to give Randy his space. Let him, you know, I don't want to step on his toes. So I just got here.
Yeah. That's all right, coach.
What would we have to do? Like, what needs to be accomplished in order to have you back someday and have you do the 1 o'clock woo?
Well, I don't think it's in the locker room, and I don't think I'm holding a water bottle in my hand.
I think more or less play sheet.
Yeah, maybe a beer in my hand.
Yeah. Oh,
you'll meet us at Twin Peaks one of these.
Then you might get a woo from me.
Yeah, okay. Even better.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
Well, as usual, everybody was saying, that's our first time. Welcome to Atlanta,
thank you,
Coach. Very excited to have you here. And we know, you know, that we always talk about this, is like the job market and all these open jobs come open. And Atlanta was on the table for you. And we've read whatever report you want to read, it was he was going there next and all those different things like that. But it was Atlanta for you. Why was it Atlanta for you?
Well, a lot of reasons, and I just mentioned it, and it's the truth. It's Arthur Blank and who he is, how he, the way he treats people, how he sets his franchise up to win, the opportunity to win. And then Matt Ryan was a huge pull for me, was a huge draw. Like I mentioned, I've known Matt. I know what he's about. Having somebody at the top there who believes in win, and believes in putting a team together with winning above anything else and how to win. He's been a part of those type of teams, and that's just what Matt is about. So that was a huge draw. I mean, I can keep on going. I mean, it's the roster. It's the young players on this football team. It's Atlanta. It's these fans. There's just so many things that were pulling me to this. Now, having said that, you go through the process, and you go and talk to all these other teams, and it's really interesting. It's fun to – I go in and talk shop and talk ball with different people around the league. But it was obvious to me as I went through that process that there was a major pull here to this city.
It seems very much like they felt that way too, obviously. I mean, the hire happened. But there were reports of other potential interviews down the road, and they didn't let you leave.
Yeah, like, I had my bag packed, though.
Yeah.
I did.
Uh-huh.
I left the house with a bag packed because you don't know how these things are going to turn out. You don't know if the feeling is mutual until you get farther down in the process. So, obviously, meeting with Atlanta that second time, meeting with them first was on purpose so that we could, this was a place where I really wanted to talk to Matt, talk to Arthur, talk to everybody here and see if the vision was aligned, and it was.
Coach, you obviously you bring your guys in and everything like that, bring in and Tommy and Coach Callahan. I'll get to him in a second. But we were under the impression that nobody ever knew because it wasn't said that you were going to call plays or not. What is the confidence level making that decision? Because this is how you made your bones, how you became a head coach.
Yeah, calling plays has never been very important to me.
Okay.
I love putting game plans together. That's more important to
me.
The process of what you're going to call, the decisions Wednesday through Friday – that's really important. That's what I love. The order in which it comes off the call sheet, I don't really care.
Okay.
I have a talented young coach in Tommy Reese that can call plays. Of course, I'm his caddy during game day. I'm helping him, and I'm giving him options, and I'm giving him some pointers and those type of things. But the play calling, that part of it has never been really important to me. And I've called games before. I've been the head coach that has the coordinator calling. It's just a comfort space for me, but it's a comfort level for me because I have Tommy Reese.
Falcons new head coach Kevin Stefanski joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. I know you talked a bit about this earlier in the press conference, but for folks that didn't hear that, as the general manager search continues, what's your role in this process?
Here to help. And again, being in this profession now for 20 seasons, I can provide some value, can find out, do reference calls on people, talk to Matt and Greg and Josh every day about where we are in the process. As we get narrowed down and potentially can bring people in, then, spend more time with people and those type of things. So very much involved in helping as much as I can, and then trusting that we'll find the right person for this franchise. We're the process that Matt is overseeing is thorough. He's leaving no stones unturned. He's going to make sure that we have a person in here that believes in what we believe in so we can put this football team together to have sustained success.
I was going back to Coach Callahan because I think, and I said this, I think he's one of the best ever. I just think that highly of him. And I go back to your background. You've coached all the good guys, especially the tight ends.
There you go.
Especially the tight ends. But my question, you talked about it in the press a little bit, and this has been a wide zone running team for the past 2 years of majority part. I know Coach Callahan likes the gap scheme and more. Do you think, are you going to kind of shift it back away from that because of the personnel, or how do you see that
going?
It's
a good question. I think, number one, and you hit it the nail on the head there. You got to make sure you know who your personnel are. What fits your guys? What fits your line? What fits your runner? Those are going to help streamline where this offense ultimately goes. I'm a believer in wide zone football. I was raised in this profession by a bunch of great coaches, and I spent a year with Gary Kubiak and Coach Kub and how he coaches that. That scheme with Rick Dennison, who was our offensive line coach. And then I brought Bill in, and Bill had been with Sean McVay in Washington, and Sean and I had talked about Bill and how he has the expertise to run wide zone, to run gap scheme. And I just know as a defender, from a defender's perspective, one of the hard things to do is when you're running sideways for the whole game, and then all of a sudden you run that gap scheme and you're cutting the defense in half and you're running downhill. Those things marry up really well to me. But that's going to be so dependent on our players and what their comfort level is.
I don't want to say what's the key, because I'm sure there's a handful of different ones, but some of the major ones, what are some of the keys in your experience in developing young quarterback play?
Yeah, honestly, we could fill up the next hour on young quarterback play, and it's something I believe in. It's something that I've been around, and most recently, we just had two rookie quarterbacks in Cleveland that we were, you know, developing, which is that's one of the most fun parts of my profession, is developing young players and watching them take drill work to the game field. That, as a coach, you know, that's what you're looking for. So whether it's young players or older players, I've kind of had everybody in between. But I think when you're talking about young quarterbacks, there's so much that goes into this game, and that's a really tough spot. It's the hardest thing to do in sports is play quarterback. So how you structure your program around those players is really, really important. It takes a village to raise young quarterbacks. So we'll make sure that we have a really sound structure around our quarterback room. We'll make sure that we have a system in place that maximizes our quarterback's attributes. And then, like Matt said, there's other things that you can do in the course of helping a young quarterback is running the football, play action. There's things that you can help with a young quarterback aside from just, hey, we're gonna help your footwork. We're going to help your throwing motion. We're going to teach you how to identify defenses. We're going to teach you how to go through progressions. All of that is true, but also how you structure your offense and your team around that those players really matters as well.
When you're going on these interviews, Coach, and obviously they're interviewing you, but you're also interviewing them too. And when you're looking at all your sheet or whatever you had for the Atlanta Falcons, what was the one thing that jumped off to you?
Well, first of all, you're right, Randy. Those are fact-finding missions. You're finding out about how they operate. I mean, the roster itself is really exciting to me. And obviously, as coaches, the better players you are, you're typically a better coach. Funny how that works. But having these good young players, good veterans on this staff or on this roster, excuse me, having guys at those important positions where you feel really good about on the offensive line, obviously young defensive ends. This is the exciting part for me, where we can put together a staff to develop these players. Nobody's done developing. These guys are all, I don't care if you're a second year player or a 12-year player, there's always room to grow. Some of the great ones I've been around have that mindset that I'm always going to get better. And as coaches, that's what we'll do. We'll take the guys that we have and we'll try and get them better. We're going to add some guys in free agency. We'll add some guys in the draft. But bottom line is there's really players throughout this roster that I'm excited about.
Falcons brand new head coach Kevin Stefanski joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. You talked in the press conference about the puzzle of putting together a coaching staff, some pieces bigger than others. I mean, you've put together a coaching staff before, but now in a new spot. How is putting together this staff in Atlanta similar, different experiences versus the first one in Cleveland?
Yeah, certainly the second time around, feel really confident in identifying coaches that will fit. And I use that puzzle analogy because you can say, hey, the offensive coordinator, that's a big piece. You know, and you can say, hey, this quality control piece is a smaller piece. Well, guess what? If you want to put that puzzle together, they all better fit. So I spend as much time on some of our younger coaches in the process of identifying good young coaches as we do on the front end. I just think it's important. I was a quality control coach. I was a young coach in this business. I was developed by guys like North Turner. I was the beneficiary of that development. So we're working very hard to identify young coaches, established coaches, you name it, because we want to have a diversity of thought in what we do. And putting that coaching staff is so important right now.
I wanted to ask you, I want to go back past before Cleveland, Minnesota, and I was doing some reading up on you. You were there through three coaches. I mean, obviously Leslie Frazier, Brad Childress, and those guys like that. What have you taken from them? Because everybody loves Coach Frazier. I love Coach Frazier.
Oh, man, that's my guy.
I love him.
He's in the Super Bowl, Coach Frazier.
What have you learned through those steps, process? Because like you said, you were a young coach all the way to now the second-time head coach.
Man, you know, I could – talk about so many, and I will talk about all the coaches I've been around, but was brought in by Brad Childress. Coach Childress came from Andy Reid. So, and I actually interned with the Eagles in the summer of 2005. So I was around Coach Reid and have remained close with him. Leslie Frazier was our defensive coordinator there under Coach Childress, then became the head coach. Leslie's one of my dear friends. He's the assistant head coach with the Seahawks. So he's going for a Super Bowl, obviously I'm pulling for both sides. That one's hard because I got friends on both sides, right. But obviously, excited about that for Leslie. And then Mike Zimmer, who was here in Atlanta.
Love
Coach
Mike.
Zim is as tough as they come. Man, did I learn football at the highest level when you're trying to – In an offensive practice, trying to block his double-A gap blitz.
Yep.
I mean, it was blitz pickup 501. It was ridiculous trying to have the answers, and then you'd do one thing, he'd do the other thing, and it was just like that high-level chess match with Coach Zim. So those are just the head coaches. Then right. I can talk, like you mentioned, Norv Turner, Bill Musgrave, Coach Mus, who was here, Pat Shurmur, just on down the line, and then to mention Gary Kubiak. So just blessed. So blessed to be around unbelievable coaches throughout my NFL tenure.
Your tenure's long for a guy who's 43,
yeah.
Right?
I got the gray hairs to prove it, dude.
But it's misleading, though, because, 43, I mean, that's young for an NFL head coach.
Yeah, I got my first job. I was 23 years old, the January of 2006, so 20 years ago. I remember standing in front of the room talking to the players about something, and I'm staring right at Brad Johnson, Super Bowl-winning quarterback. I'm like, is this guy really listening to me? Like, this is crazy. And then, 2009, there I am as a young coach in the quarterback room, and there's Brett Favre. I wasn't coaching Brett. I was in the room, but I was way back here just listening. And the way that Brett thought about the game and the things that he saw, it was just incredible. So throughout my career, I've just been blessed to have so many people come in and out of my life that have taught me so much about this game.
Coach, you were in the process because of the quarterback market that year that Michael and JJ were in the same – your quarterback. The quarterback that – obviously you looked at, you didn't draft either one of those. But when you're evaluating Michael mm-hmm. – what did you see outside of the physical tools? Because we know the kid can throw it through, mm-hmm. his physical tools. Outside of that, what did you see in him? Meaning that he might be your quarterback.
The way he thinks about the game. I mean, you can see players go through progressions.
Right.
You don't see it a lot. Sometimes there's young quarterbacks that are going from first read to check down, right?
Right.
You're seeing Michael get to a backside in cut on a progression. So you see where his eyes are. So I think there's already a basis that he's been taught, and he's been taught well. He's had really good coaches about how to read defenses. And there's things, of course, that we as coaches want to help him and improve upon those areas. But I definitely see a guy that is making good decisions throughout the down.
Is it going to be hard to work on some of that stuff with him as he's still kind of actively going through his rehab?
Well, I think, like I mentioned, that's the most important thing for him is to get healthy. And he's well on his way. He's doing great. He's on track and all those type of things. All the while, there's ways to get better in the meeting room. I really believe there's ways to coach the quarterback in the meeting room, to teach them how to read a defense, teach them how to go through progressions. There's plenty of work that can be done before you get to the physical part of it.
Coach, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Coach. Yeah. Good luck to you, man.
We're supposed to go let you eat, so got to
keep going.
What else you got to do?
Come on, fire one more. Let's go.
April 7th.
This better be a tight end question. Two-parter.
I can't ask two-parter. A tight end question because technically you can't answer that question.
Yeah, the Kyle Pitts question.
But I got one question, last one.
Yes,
April 7th,
yeah.
Off-season program starts. I know you're excited about that,
yeah.
Get with the guys and things like that. Is there a different type of program that you think about implementing that hasn't been here?
Yes. I think the first thing is as a new head coach, you get 2 extra weeks.
Right.
So we'll bring him in on April. April 6th is the first day you can bring him in. I believe that's Easter Monday, so we're going to bring him in on Tuesday, let everybody travel on Monday. But there's a lot that you can get done in the building, whether you're in the meeting room, you're in the weight room. I think when you're starting to put a team together, it starts in that weight room. It starts about how you're moving weight in there. And if you want to be a physical football team, you better get your butt in the weight room. So that's something I've always believed. That's when we start in earnest developing our toughness. And you guys will hear me say this, and it's so easy for me to say this, by the way.
Right.
This cost me nothing to say this. But you have to earn that toughness. And it doesn't happen by just showing up and everything's easy. It's going to be hard. And our players, I've explained that to a bunch of those guys, they respect that. They want it to be hard. They want to be calloused up. So that's what I'm excited about. When you finally get those guys in that building on April 7th, one of the first things you're doing is you're in that weight room. And that's where you want to develop a tough football team. Put that football team through a tough program in that weight room.
I can promise you by then the good Atlanta weather will be here. You'll have some good, warm
Atlanta
weather.
It's balmy out there. Are you kidding? It's balmy.
I don't know what your allergies are like, but
bring
your Claritin.
I've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate
you very much.
Great to meet you guys.